Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We were talking about being able to go to the White House. I'm excited about showing that to you. And we didn't have enough time before the break. This is, like I said, this is Vice President Mike Pence celebrating Israel's Independence Day by bringing in our Jewish citizens and friends from around the country, and I believe around the world. It's just so exciting to be able to see that. As a matter of fact, let's go join Vice President Mike Pence now in the White House.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ambassador. Thank you all for being here. And on behalf of the First Family, welcome to the White House. I bring greetings from the President of the United States of America, President Donald Trump. On behalf of President Trump, just a few minutes ago, I had the distinct honor to wish a happy Independence Day to Prime Minister Netanyahu over the phone as we celebrate the 69th anniversary of the independence of America's most cherished ally, the Jewish state of Israel. I want to thank all the distinguished guests who are here and members of Congress who've made time to come to the White House this afternoon, and people representing a broad spectrum of Americans who all cherish the relationship that the American people have enjoyed throughout these 69 years with the people of Israel. It's humbling to be here with you on this remarkable and even a hallowed day. To Secretary Steven Mnuchin, to Ambassador David Friedman. To Senator Orrin Hatch, who has been a great, great champion for Israel all these many years in the United States Senate. Distinguished members of Congress, including Congressman Peter King, who's with us today. The Republicans and Democrats who are gathered here, honored guests, my fellow friends of Israel, thank you. On behalf of the President of the United States, just thank you for being here today at the White House to celebrate this day, the anniversary of a moment that will be remembered for eternity. You're all here, all of you, regardless of your home, your creed, because on this day, the fifth day in the month of Iyar, in the Hebrew calendar in 1948, nothing short of a miracle occurred. On that day, in the ancient and eternal homeland of the Jewish people, the state of Israel was reborn in our time. On that day, the Jewish people's 2,000-year exile, the longest exile of any people anywhere, ended. And on that day, a prophecy literally came to pass. And I believe in my heart that God himself fulfilled his promise to his people. The Lord God tells us in the old book, "Behold, I will cause breath to enter into, and ye shall live." And Israel lives today. Today and every day, the state of Israel and her people bear witness to God's faithfulness as well as their own. How unlikely was Israel's birth? How much more unlikely has been her survival? And how confounding, against all odds, both past and present, has been her thriving? Since the moment of their independence, the Israeli people have awed the world with their strength of will and their strength of character. They've turned the desert into a garden, scarcity into plenty, and the people of Israel have turned hope into a future of security and prosperity. And at all times, in war and in peace, the people of Israel, the Jewish people, have held their heads high. Every day, Israel takes the curses and slanders of too much of the world and turns them into blessings. The dignity of the people of Israel rebukes all who condemn them, not for what they do wrong, but they condemn them for what they do right. And under President Donald Trump, let me assure you of this: if the world knows nothing else, the world will know this. America stands with Israel. President Trump stands with Israel for the same reason that every freedom-loving American stands with Israel, because her cause is our cause. Her values are our values, and her fight is our fight. And President Donald Trump is it's a lifelong friend and supporter of the State of Israel and its people. You know, I've seen firsthand the President's deep affection for Israel and all who cherish her, and so is the world. Just last week, President Trump stood with Holocaust survivors during the National Days of Remembrance, and he declared, quote, "I will always stand with the Jewish people, and I will always stand with our great friend and partner, the State of Israel." For my part, my Christian faith compels me to cherish Israel, as well as our deep alliance and historical ties. The songs of the land of the people of Israel were the anthems of my youth when I was growing up. You know, my wife and I had the privilege of visiting Israel in 2004 and 2008, and we fulfilled a lifelong dream to bring all of our children to the Holy Land in December of 2014. It was a joy inexpressible. So let me say with confidence to all who are gathered here, President Trump stands without apology for Israel, and he always will. Just look at the actions our president has taken since he took office. The president named David Friedman to represent the United States of America in Israel. The president named Governor Nikki Haley to be America's ambassador to the United Nations. And the president of the United States, as we speak, is giving serious consideration to moving the American embassy in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
This is so exciting to see all the yarmulkes in the White House, because the previous administration, it was the bipolar opposite of that.
Yeah.
You know, they were having, what was the dinners? The Ishtar dinner? Ishtar dinners and, you know, Islam and having, you know, celebrating
a lot.
Yeah,
a lot
of that. Even the Muslim Brotherhood was reportedly coming in, part of that. Just kind of celebrating Islam instead of celebrating Judaism or Christianity.
It's a new day. It's a new day and a new season.
I heard that there wasn't even declaration for a National Day of Prayer. Was it even made during that?
That's what I heard. I heard that from Greg Larry, Pastor Greg Larry,
yes,
mentioned that in the previous administration, that President Obama did not commemorate the National Day of Prayer,
which is actually in the law,
and that he's required to do.
Yeah, to say a day of, you know, prayer and seeking the Lord and coming together, even as an individual. But that's happening now.
Oh yes,
this is definitely an awesome month that's taking place, the month of May.
Not only that, but Greg continues to say that there's other ministers and pastors who are going to have a meeting with President Trump, and
we're going to have him on our next program. So
I encourage
if you have not, make sure you join us in our next program, because we're going to have Greg Lowry on. He's speaking specifically about North Korea and how this fits into end time prophecy and how things could just shift suddenly. Yeah. And so make sure you join that. And if it's Greg Lowry talking about it, you better be concerned. He doesn't talk about these things, the best of my knowledge. So May, the president's going to be going to Israel.
Yes.
On May the 23rd, 22nd.
Through the 23rd, yes. Mm-hmm.
Tell us what's going on there.
Well, he's going to Israel during that period. Mm-hmm. But many people are suggesting, including the vice president, that at this historic time that president, remember, the previous administration didn't go to Israel until their second term,
right,
and only yeah. the stuff that was happening. Didn't,
we thought it was so exciting. Remember the speech he gave? President Obama gave the speech, and we're like, yes, yes. And the very end of it, he says, but to do this, we're going to take it to the United Nations where they have the unstoppable Islamic voting bloc. So we can.
And you young people in college, don't listen to your elders.
That's what they said.
Just do what you want to do.
I was so let down because we were pumped. We were listening to the speech live. We were on the air. We're going, this is great. This is great. And at the very end,
it was flattering because the first 45 minutes of this speech, it's the best thing any president or any person could possibly say about Israel.
Right.
Only for the last moment to get uppercut with such a really devastating blow.
You know, he's a brilliant, you know, he's, he knows how to work his narrative and what he wants to do. But thank God for the new narrative.
Well, which makes this time so much more special with our president, President Trump, and this trip, his first thing he does almost within the first 100 days is go to Israel.
Yes.
And Vice President.
Well, the first call he made was to Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Yes. It was fixed in one phone call. They fixed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So relationships fixed, not a problem.
Right.
Well, I want you to hear Mike Pence, Vice President Mike Pence, as he shares.
Because you're saying this because we might have missed it, that the assumption is going to be because the president promised during his campaign that he was going to move. He was going to move Jerusalem's, Tel Aviv, the U.S. embassy, and it's in Tel Aviv, to move it to the capital of Israel, which is Jerusalem, which is already in the law for us to do it. But he was going to do it. So
well, every previous president since then, from Bill Clinton, was kicking a can and pushing
they'd write a special thing saying this is not good. But they're assuming that, and it's just like, I think, President Trump to go there and say, as a matter of fact, he's going to say, potentially, we're about to hear it, in May, that we're going to move the embassy to, if you want the embassy, if you're in Israel and you're listening to this, you want the embassy to be moved to Jerusalem, start cheering him on. He'll be like, we'll move that thing.
That's right. Well, in fact, if, if you're watching this program, contact your senator, contact your congressman, and tell him you want to be behind President Trump in making sure this move happens.
And the reason why is, it is the capital. That's where all embassies are, in the capital. But yeah, this is Mike Pence, President, Vice President Mike Pence, talking about that specific thing. Let's take a look.
And the President of the United States, as we speak, is giving serious consideration to moving the American Embassy in Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
So you're looking at this very thing. We've got so much we're going to talk about because this is the 50th anniversary of the unification of Israel, their victory in the Six-Day War, you know, that this is amazing days. Prophetically, it's the year after the Shemitah, which is the Jubilee year.
It's the Jubilee. Yeah, it's the month of May. It's a beautiful month.
You got to catch our next program because we're going to talk about, you know, it's 5 years for us that we've been on the air and what God said to us. Well, we're excited about talking about what's taking place in the White House with celebrating Israel's Independence Day, but also with Israel. In Israel, they're getting ready for the 50th anniversary of the Six-Day War, the unification of Israel, and
reunification of Jerusalem.
Reunification of Jerusalem. And a lot of people don't know about the Six-Day War, what really took place in 1967. And so we have, you know, Prager University, right? Dennis Prager does a real good job of just quickly explaining it. So this is what they're celebrating. They're celebrating that, you know, originally when Israel became a nation, they didn't have Jerusalem in there because that's what the United Nations was drawing out and that type of thing.
But Balfour Declaration.
In 1967, they came in trying to do to war against Israel, so they had to take it. As a matter of fact, they took a lot of things and they gave it back. They took Jordan, they took the Egypt. West Bank, they took Egypt, the northern parts, the oil has the oil in it. They took that, and then they just said, okay, if they cut a peace deal with Egypt that allowed them to get their land back. And I mean, just Israel is just an amazing,
giving, blessed nation.
So this is why we got to have Jerusalem, because it's undefensible borders if you go back to 1967 border lines. But let's take a look. What happened in 1967, Prager University, Dennis Prager?
In 1967, the dictator of Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser, announced his plan, in his words, to destroy Israel. He placed Egyptian troops on Israel's border, and armies of surrounding Arab countries were also mobilized to attack. However, Israel preemptively attacked Egypt and Syria. Israel did not attack Jordan and begged Jordan's king not to join the war. But he did. And only because of that did Israel take control of Jordanian land, specifically the West Bank of the Jordan River. Shortly after the war, the Arab states went to Khartoum, Sudan, and announced their famous three no's: no recognition, no peace, and no negotiations. What was Israel supposed to do?
So that's why Jerusalem is part of Israel today. Jordan was part of Israel. Yeah. Egypt was part of Israel. And really the true lines of Israel's borders, you can read them in the Old Testament. It shows you where they're much bigger than
it's
what it
is
right
now.
A coming land grab is actually coming soon, I believe, prophetically. And Pastor John Kilpatrick talked about that with Church of His Presence. But wouldn't it be cool, John, to be able to go back and just kind of be a fly on the wall or a fly on the mound, the Temple Mound, just to see what was going on during the time that they took Jerusalem?
Yeah. Well, think about it. They didn't have Jerusalem. The Temple Mount was there.
Right.
It's today, the Jews go there all the time. They don't go to the Temple Mount, but it's the Wailing Wall. Mm-hmm. And so they had a longing always to be there. And so, imagine all these years they're not able to go.
In the process of defending themselves, having to have preemptive strikes on their enemy who's about to try to push them in the sea, they ended up with Jerusalem. Mm. But guess what? We have some footage to be able to take you there to what it was like when they got Jerusalem back in 1967. Just a little bit of footage. Take a look. This is so exciting. It's like being a fly on the wall. You got to see what it took place. And remember, just like Dennis Prager said, that wasn't their intentions. They didn't want to go to war, but they had to be able to defend themselves because they were trying to, over and over again, the enemies of Israel say, we want to destroy you and push you into the sea. And so in the byproduct of that, prophecy was fulfilled and Jerusalem came back and never again will she be trodden upon.
Wow.
That's the prophecy. Yeah. Once she's back in the hands of Israel or the Jews, that she won't leave again.
Yeah.
So all this huff and puff and things that are going on about trying to take Jerusalem. Isn't it interesting? How many square inches are there on the globe of the earth?
Square inches?
Yeah. Just checking to see if you were listening.
Yeah.
But imagine you got all this land on the earth. And you can have anything, but why do you want Jerusalem?
Why Israel? Why Jerusalem?
It's like two siblings fighting each other, and it's like, why do you want the toy that's in his hand?
Yeah,
because that's God's property.
Special city. Yeah. Special city.
But it's God's.
The city of David belongs to the Lord.
Yes.
And still today, three religions, claim home. Jerusalem as a home. You have, of course, the Jews, Islam, and Christianity.
Right.
But it belongs to the Jews. It belongs to
Islam. Didn't call it their claim until Barak.
Yeah, until later.
the donkey that rode Barak. The donkey was called Barak. They carried Muhammad and he landed a flying donkey. Right? Is this right? Landed on the Temple Mound there, the area. And that's when they began to do the Al-Asamas or something like that. You can verify that on the torch. But the horse or the donkey was called Barak. Well, they're celebrating. They're celebrating right now in Israel, the festival for the 50th year, and they're getting ready for it. As a matter of fact, let's take a look now.
Shalom from Jerusalem. This year, we celebrate the return of the Jewish people to their eternal capital. I'm honored to send my best wishes to the Israeli-American Council as we celebrate the 50th anniversary of the reunification of Jerusalem. Since reuniting Jerusalem 50 years ago, Israel has celebrated the rich diversity of our city. We have maintained freedom of religion, movement, and expression for all of our city's residents. These values are the core of Israel's democracy. They are values that are the basis of our enduring bond with our strongest ally, the United States. Jerusalem, I'm committed to upholding the promise of our city as a center of openness and unity for all people. Thank you for joining the Israeli-American Council to celebrate the reunification of Jerusalem on this historic anniversary. Let me conclude with the blessing that we all meet next year here in Jerusalem.
What's so interesting about this is a big celebration that you have Israel's independence and you have the unification, and it's like May is this
so special month,
spiritual month, you know, May Day, and that there's something taking place all over the world right now in May. And I encourage you to be alert, because anytime good things begin to happen, people in strongholds who wanted bad things and thought they had a bad thing figured out, they get upset. But that's what happens when God starts to deliver a nation and deliver a people. And so, you know, you don't pay attention to that. But this is an exciting day. So you have the unification, that the reason why Jerusalem is in Israel now, and it always was, but men weren't allowing that to happen. So they got it back in the Six-Day War, 1967. Well, it's because they had to defend themselves. The UN, UNESCO, the initials are, but part of the UN just voted against Israel having sovereignty over Jerusalem.
Shocker.
Yes.
Yeah.
But what's so interesting, we'll talk more about it in a moment, or we have already, but again, is that our president, President Trump, is still going to move our embassy, it looks like, from Tel Aviv to the capital, Jerusalem, which establishes, which makes it real for the whole world once we move our whole embassy to Jerusalem.
Which reminds me of what Brother John Kirkpatrick said, Pastor John Kirkpatrick of Church of His Presence. He said that when President Trump does that officially,
that's the reason why he got in.
He'll be lifting the cap off financial blessing off of America.
Well, we're talking about the 50th anniversary of the unification of Israel, also the independence celebration, Independence Day in Jerusalem. And our president is going to be there. President Trump's going to be there May the 22nd
through the 23rd.
Yeah.
On Jerusalem Day, where they're celebrating the reunification of Jerusalem.
Of all the days. It would be a perfect way to celebrate Jerusalem Day than to say, let's move the United States.
Are you for it? I'm for it.
I am so for it. I am so for it. And the stage is being set.
Yeah.
You know, God wanted Jerusalem to be in Israel's possession. Mm-hmm. Israel just wanted to be left alone. But it's not Israel's decision what God wants to do. It's not our decision what God
wants
to
do.
And so all of a sudden this war came in, and that war enabled them to have Jerusalem. And so God's working out his will. The prophecy, the things that God has done, and he loves Israel, and he's going to save Israel, and he's going to protect Israel. But, you know, think how strategic this is, John. Our president's going to Jerusalem, going to Israel in a couple of days, and he's going to be there on Jerusalem Day. And he's talked about in his campaign, and vice presidents that we just heard, Vice President Pence talked about, it's possibly going to happen. Of course, he didn't want to spill his press, I'm sure.
He's giving serious concern.
Serious
with his exact words.
But listen to what God said. This is what God said to Pastor John Kilpatrick, a Church of His Presence, the exact reason why he was going to put Donald Trump in office. Take a look.
I was riding along the highway last Thursday evening. I was engaged in a conversation by cell phone with my administrator regarding budget matters. As I was listening to her answer a question, I heard Holy Spirit interrupt me and said, "How do you spell Truman?" I thought for a moment, and I said, T-R-U-M-A-N. He then said, "How do you spell Trump?" And I said, T-R-U-M-P. I immediately made the connection. He proceeded to ask me, who did President Truman lean on to help get the Jews back in the Holy Land? I said, General Eisenhower. The Lord said to me, I have raised up Trump, and I am also giving him generals to help defend my people, the Jews, to keep them in their homeland. What was will be again. He then asked me, how do you spell truth? I said, T-R-U-T-H. The Lord said, he's changing the appetites of people. Instead of the public now rejoicing in rumors, they will now become excited to hear the truth again. They will develop a love for the truth and reject the lies as well as the liars. This will not be true of everyone in every place, but a shift has already happened. Truth had fallen in the streets, but I tell you, I'm lifting it up again, and it shall cause great rejoicing. I, the Lord, have done this by my own power, by my right arm of might, and by my justice. Give God praise. Hallelujah.
That's so powerful. Understand that God is just shifting in the earth right now. You're seeing things move. You're seeing things that were just kind of left there and were unjust, and they were doing things they shouldn't be doing, persecuting people they shouldn't be persecuting, period, and persecuting Christians and Jews. And North Korea is the greatest persecutor of Christians
yes.
in the world. And just things are shifting right now. Well, one of the epicenters of the shift, of course, is Israel. Everhow goes Israel, so goes the nations, and so goes the church. And so we're seeing them move into a jubilee. We're seeing them shift. I mean, they weren't trying to get Jerusalem in 67. They were trying to get safe. But in the turn, God says, I want you to have all this land.
Just like God, isn't it?
Yes, just like God. And just because UNESCO, the United Nations little group, just voted against Israel having sovereignty over their own piece of property, America's already voted. Our Congress has already made a law. We have it established that we acknowledge Jerusalem as the capital of Israel.
Yes.
Not the capital of Palestine. Not the capital of Palestine.
Even the Democratic Party actually made a part of their platform.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, this, like, it's right. a known thing.
Right. And so it's a law. It's in our law. Well, every year, a president had to sign a waiver
yeah.
to kind of bump it down the road. But it's the fact that President Trump. This is what the interesting thing that I see in President Trump's presidency so far. He's just enforcing the laws that have been on the books all along.
Yes, and doing what he said he's going to do.
But think about it. It's the Homeland Security man, whoever he is right now, I can't think of his name. But
General Kelly.
General Kelly saying specifically that I'm just enforcing the laws. These yeah. are laws that have been on the books. If you want to change this, change the laws. And so we had all these laws on the books that we weren't enforcing. And that's why we're having so many issues. And there's laws about Israel on the books that says specifically that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel and that our embassy is supposed to be in Jerusalem, which means the only thing our president would be doing in May 22nd and 23rd would be saying, I want to be able just to follow the law.
Abiding the law, imagine that.
He says, you know, one thing he said, we're a nation of laws,
mm-hmm.
you know, and he's for that. He's, I mean, so we're looking, and God said to Pastor John Kilpatrick, you just heard, the whole reason why that God put President Trump into office was so that he could, and he would give him generals so that he can make sure that nobody can push Israel out of their land.
Yeah.
That's exciting.
It's very yeah. exciting. I mean, when you think about it, the last 8 years of the previous administration, it was seemed as if everything was designed in the Middle East to almost push Israel out.
Yeah. Bipolar opposite.
You are correct yeah. with yeah. this Iranian deal, giving them the ability right. to do the enrichment for this, you know, nuclear bomb potentially,
right.
as well as billions, I believe, of dollars.
Hundreds of billions. Of cash.
Cash.
Yeah.
You know, who does that?
Right.
Not someone that's favorable.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Not favorable towards Israel.
It befriended and gave the, reportedly, the Iron Curtain to, the Iron Wall missiles to Turkey, which is now basically has a dictatorship because yeah. they voted out their own. This is important to remember. When Hitler got into power, he was voted in by the people. They liked what he was saying. And so it's not unusual for people to say, when God's going, listen, I want you to have Samuel. I'll talk directly to him. He'll tell you what I'm saying, and everything's going to be fine. It's not unusual for people to say, we want a king like them. We want to be like them.
Yeah.
Israel did that, and men have always done that if we turn away from God. And God finally said, you're not rejecting, you know, you're not rejecting Samuel. You're rejecting me. Give them what they want. And Turkey just voted in. And he pushed for a long time, but they voted in this dictatorship. Well, we got to be very careful in America that we have a lot of people that are proclaiming things. If that got fulfilled, it would be the end of us. And we're fixing to end and go to the end of the program right here, but these are exciting days. What will actually sustain us is standing with Israel,
yes,
acknowledging God, holding our borders, going back to our Constitution, and as Christians in America, is to turn back to God. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and heal their land.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFN TV and the Daily Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light.